This is session number 49 of the Gospel according to John. We're in John chapter 6. Today we'll be picking it up in verse 44, but before we start, last time we saw that Jesus Christ is the bread of life. We saw that He is the bread of God that came down from heaven to give life unto the world. And ultimately, we saw that our only hope is to come to Him and to believe on Him. That's man's only hope, is to come to Jesus and believe on Jesus. That's our only hope for everlasting life. But what we're seeing is that Jesus is revealing the truth that nobody can come to Him on their own, unless the Father draws that person to Jesus. This is an important truth to understand and to realize. The question is, how does He draw? Today we're going to see that one must hear and learn of the Father. This is how the Father draws one to Jesus. We're going to see Jesus will reiterate that believing in Him is what grants everlasting life, and that He is the bread of life come down from heaven. And then He'll begin to reveal that ultimately we as humans will partake of this everlasting life through Christ's atonement work on the cross. He's going to be subtle about this, but that's what He is going to be pointing towards. That's why He's going to talk about eating His flesh and drinking His blood. We don't physically eat His flesh and drink His blood. And yet Christ did have to literally partake of flesh and blood. He had to literally die for our salvation and our atonement. Christ is beginning to reveal these truths in metaphoric language, also known as Proverbs. In chapter 16, verse 29 through 30. His flesh and blood will be the key to eternal life. It's going to be the key that opens up the door. And we must partake of it. We'll also see many completely misunderstanding Christ, being offended and murmuring at His doctrine, and ultimately walking away from Him to never come back. That's what we'll see moving forward in the rest of John 6. So let's take a look at it. We'll pick it up from verse 43. Jesus therefore answered and said unto them, "Murmur not among yourselves. No man can come to Me, except the Father which hath sent Me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall be all taught of God. Every man therefore that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto Me. Not that any man hath seen the Father, save he which is of God. He hath seen the Father. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on Me hath everlasting life. I am that bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever, and the bread that I will give is My flesh, which I will give for the life of the world." The Jews therefore strove among themselves, saying, "How can this man give us his flesh to eat?" Then Jesus said unto them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink His blood, ye have no life in you. Whoso eateth My flesh and drinketh My blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For My flesh is meat indeed, and My blood is drink indeed. He that eateth My flesh and drinketh My blood dwelleth in Me, and I in him. As the living Father hath sent Me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth Me, even he shall live by Me. This is that bread which came down from heaven. Not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever. These things said he in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. Let's go back through these scriptures. We saw that the Jews were beginning to murmur because Jesus stated that he came down from heaven. This did not resonate with their understanding, and so they could not receive God's understanding on the situation. So Jesus told them, "Don't murmur among yourselves, because nobody can come to me, except the Father which hath sent me draw him." As we stated before, these men have come to Jesus, but they haven't come to Jesus. They came up another way. They didn't come by the leading and drawing of the Father. They came of their own accord, of their own volition, of their own desires. They came as they were, with their belly as their God, searching for more free meals and more miracles and signs and wonders, and ultimately for a free ride on a good, prosperous, blessed, physical, carnal life. And they came to Jesus like that, which is why we will see them walk away from Jesus the exact same way. No, Jesus tells the truth. No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him. Now in verse 45, Jesus is going to explain how the Father draws. He says, "It is written in the prophets." Now, first thing that's important, we've made this note before, but we need to understand this. Christ's doctrine is perfectly in line with the written scriptures. Remember, the written scriptures were inspired by the Spirit of God. Christ is filled with all the fullness of God. So there's no way his doctrine is going to be in disagreement or in conflict with the written scriptures. So he brings them back to the written scriptures. He said, "It is written in the prophets." What's written? "And they shall be all taught of God." Now he's quoting from Isaiah 54:3, where it says, "Great shall be the peace of thy children. They shall be all taught of the Lord." This was a promise of the new covenant. It's a new covenant promise that all the children of God, all the children of true Israel, would be taught directly by the Lord himself. Hallelujah. Guess who's standing right in front of these guys in the synagogue? The Lord himself. There he is, God manifest in the flesh, teaching them. But unfortunately, they're not hearing, they're not learning, so they're not being drawn by the Father. But this is a new covenant promise. They shall be all taught of God. Every man, amen. So Jesus says, "Every man, therefore, that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me." Okay, so this is important. Every man who's going to be a partaker of Christ, every man who's going to believe on Jesus Christ, every man who's going to get eternal life and be resurrected unto life at the first resurrection, every single one of them has to do two things. He has to hear of the Father, and he has to learn of the Father. Because if you hear the Father's voice and you learn of the Father will bring you to Jesus. He said, "Every man therefore that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me." Verse 46, "Not that any man hath seen the Father, save he which is of God, he hath seen the Father." So hearing and learning doesn't mean that you see and know him yet. You don't come to know the Father first. No, you first begin to hear his voice. You begin to learn from him. And what he'll do is he will bring you to Jesus Christ so you can know Christ. And then through Christ, we'll be able to know and ultimately see the Father. But that's only through Christ, because no man apart from Christ hath seen the Father. The only one who has seen God is the one who is of God. He's seen the Father. So Jesus wants to reiterate verse 47, "Verily, verily, I say unto you," this is Christ's doctrine, "he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. I am that bread of life." So let's get this thing. The only way somebody can have everlasting life is to come to faith in Jesus Christ. That's it. Jesus is laying this thing out. He's been laying it out since John 3. The only hope to get to the Father, the only hope to dwell forever in the kingdom of God, is it's through the Son. It's not going to be through your own power. It's not going to be through your own might. It's not going to be through your own will. It's not going to be through your own ability. It's not going to be through your own religion, your own beliefs, your own ways. No. The only way is it's going to be through believing on Jesus Christ. "He that believeth on me hath everlasting life." Why? Because he says, "I am that bread of life." Amen. Now in verse 49, he's going to reiterate this point. "Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead." So clearly eating Christ is not going to be a physical experience, because the children of Israel in the wilderness ate physical bread from heaven that filled their physical bellies, and it did not give them eternal life. They are dead. When Jesus says they're dead, he's not talking about physical. Obviously, they're physically dead. He's not telling these people anything they don't know there. No, he's explaining and stating that they are spiritually dead. Those men are in hell. They were children in whom was no faith, as it says in the book of Deuteronomy. They were not the children of God. They might have been the children of Israel, physical, flesh and blood. They ate physical bread from heaven, filled their bellies, but they weren't the children of God. No, your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. Verse 50 and 51, Jesus says, "This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world." See, spiritual bread from heaven, not physical bread from heaven that you will physically eat and digest. No, spiritual bread from heaven. Remember, what came down from heaven? Did the body of Christ come down from heaven, or did the word that was from the beginning come down from heaven? It was the word. It's the spiritual. That's the bread that comes down from heaven. But remember, that bread was clothed in flesh. The word was made flesh. So he says, "I am the living bread which came down from heaven." He's not talking about his body. He's talking about the spirit. He's talking about his soul. He's talking about who he is, the identity as the word. He came down from heaven, and yet he was made flesh. "So that if any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world." Without the flesh and blood of Jesus Christ, there's no hope for man who is flesh and blood. Now, verse 52, we see, "The Jews therefore strove among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat?" They are striving among themselves. They're striving with the word of Christ. They're fighting with the word of Christ. They're stiff-necked, uncircumcised in ears and in heart, and fighting with the absolute true words of life. But in the end, they're not really fighting with Christ, although they are, but there's really no battle there. In the end, they're actually striving among themselves. They are, like Paul told Timothy, men who oppose themselves. And Jesus is trying to, in meekness, instruct them And the only hope is that they will repent according to the acknowledging of the truth. And that has to be a gift of God. But they're striving among themselves because they are judging physically, not spiritually. You'll see at the end why I keep bringing up this spiritual versus physical, fleshy, carnal. Verse 53, then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you. Now get ready. Jesus is not about to explain their confusion away. He's not about to say, oh no, guys, you're misunderstanding me. This is what I really mean. No. Because one of the things is Jesus is the authority of God. And those who despise the authority of God are ending up drinking damnation to themselves. And God does not bow to man's whiny, murmuring, complaining, arguing spirit. And so Jesus is not about to bow to them, and he's not about to over-explain himself. Actually, he's about to take this message and go into even stronger metaphoric language that is going to even offend them even more. This is how Jesus is. He's not here to appease a bunch of whiners and complainers. He's here to speak the truth. Those that are of the truth hear God's voice. Those that are not of the truth, they're not going to hear his voice. Jesus said, I didn't come to bring peace. I came to bring a sword. I came to bring division. That sword is the sword of the Spirit. It is the word of God. It's the word of truth. It's truth that cuts the light from the darkness. It's truth that cuts the soul from the spirit. The truth is what pierces to the thoughts and intents of the heart. And so as Jesus speaks the truth, he's dividing out the true believers from the phonies. This is a necessary, important part of the ministry. So Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. Now this is important. Apart from Christ, we have no life in us. Yes, we might have physical life, but physical life is temporary. That will not last. Christ is life. God is life. And apart from Christ, God does not abide in us, and Christ does not abide in us, so we have no life. That's what he just said. Except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. No life. Not some life. No life. Jesus Christ is speaking in the spiritual level. He's speaking in the eternal plane. So Jesus is revealing, though, that our life will come from his atonement, from his death, from his flesh and blood that he will offer up on the cross. Now, I know he doesn't state it clearly, but he's hinting at this throughout John. He's pointing people to himself, because ultimately it's all him, but then he's also pointing people to what he has to do on the cross and how we must be partakers of that. We must partake of his atonement, his death. We must eat. We must drink. Verse 54, he says it again, whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Now, some people try to take this literally, and it is literal, but it's not physical literal. It's spiritual literal. Jesus is speaking literally. Remember, the spiritual is the greater reality than the physical. But remember when we went back early in verse 35, Jesus already set the tone. In verse 35, the key is coming to him. That's what takes away your hunger. The key is believing on him. That's what takes away your thirst. So here when he's talking about eating flesh and drinking blood, he's not talking about literal, physical. He's talking about literal, spiritual. He's talking about coming to him and partaking of his humanity, his humility, his sufferings. And he's talking about coming to him and believing on him, drinking in his words, his spirit, his atonement. This is what's going to give us eternal life. I think it's just interesting to note the similarity of verse 54 with verse 40. Aside from the first phrase of verse 40, "This is the will of him that sent me," if you line those verses up side by side, they're almost identical. The only thing that changes is in verse 40, he talks about seeing the Son. And in verse 54, he talks about eating his flesh. In verse 40, he talks about believing on him. And in verse 54, he talks about drinking his blood. But everything else is almost identical in those two verses if you line them up side by side. So what I'm seeing is that the eating his flesh lines up with seeing him. And the drinking his blood lines up with believing on him. Because that's what he's looking for. Verse 55, "For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed." Yes, it's real. It is literal, it's just not physical. Now, this truth that Christ reveals here is so profound, but it's lost in all the modern Bibles. All the modern Bibles say something like, "My flesh is true food," or "My body is true food," and "My blood is true drink," or something. And they really lose it. Because remember, Jesus is speaking in the synagogue to a bunch of Jews. These are men of Israel who were raised in the Old Testament scriptures. Now, in the Old Testament, there were many different offerings that were offered unto the Lord at the altar of sacrifice. But there were two offerings that were not like the normal offerings, but they seemed to be accompanying many of the other offerings often. These two offerings were quite often accompanying other offerings, and they were called the meat offering and the drink offering. Now, we're not going to go back and study it, but you can go back and look at Leviticus 2 and study the meat offering, and then you can read about the drink offering in multiple places, one of which would be Leviticus 23. And one thing you're going to see is that the meat offering was not flesh meat. It was actually unleavened bread meat. And it was without leaven, and the drink offering was wine. And these two offerings often accompanied burnt sacrifices, peace offerings, sin offerings, this meat and drink offering. So when Jesus says, verse 55, "My flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed," that's also a reference to the fact that he is the true fulfillment of the meat offering and the drink offering. That meat offering and drink offering were just temporary types and pictures foreshadowing to ultimately the one, Jesus, who would come and be the true unleavened bread and pour out his blood. Again, the drink offering was grape juice. Pour out his blood for the sins of men. So he says, "My flesh is meat indeed, my blood is drink indeed." Verse 56, "He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him." Now this is important because later on in the book of John, Jesus is going to explain how you dwell in Christ and how Christ would dwell in you. He's going to teach this to his disciples in the upper room in John 14 and 15. And here's what he says. He says, "If you keep his commands," Christ's commands, "then the Comforter, the Holy Ghost, will dwell in you, and you'll abide in the Comforter." He'll also say that if we keep Christ's words, then the Father and the Son will come and abide with us and dwell with us, and we'll abide in them. And then he also says, if we continue in Christ's love, then we will continue in Christ's commands, and then His joy will dwell in us, and we will lay down our lives in love. So the three things he says is continuing in his commands, keeping his commands, continuing in his words, keeping his words, and continuing in his love. This is how we abide in Christ and how Christ abides in us. He'll explain that in John 14:15. So here he says, if you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you dwell in me and I in him. That doesn't mean if you eat a little cracker and you drink a little thing of grape juice, that means you dwell in Christ and Christ dwells in you. No, that's just physical. That just goes into your physical belly. No, you dwell in Christ when you eat his flesh. That means when you become a partaker of him, when you partake his commands. When you drink his blood, that means when you drink his words, when you continue in his love, the way he laid down his life for us, then we lay down our lives for the brethren. This is eating his flesh and drinking his blood. This is how we dwell in him. And verse 57, he says, as the living Father hath sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. Now this scripture is a key verse to prove that Jesus is not speaking physical, literal, but spiritual, and that it's a metaphor. Because it says, as the living Father hath sent me, and as I live by the Father. So the question is, how did the Father send Jesus? And how did Jesus live by the Father? Was Jesus physically sent from heaven? Was Jesus physically living by the Father? Was he physically eating the Father in order to live? No. So you're not going to physically eat Jesus. You're not going to physically eat a wafer and become a partaker of Christ. No. How was Jesus sent by the Father? The Word was sent from above. The Spirit was sent from above. How did Jesus live by the Father? He said, I do always those things that please my Father. Whatever my Father says, that's what I speak. Whatever I see my Father do, that's what I do. What does that mean? Just like we just talked about. Just like how we have to continue in Christ's commands, we have to continue in Christ's words, we have to continue in Christ's love. That's what Jesus did with the Father. He kept his Father's commands. He did his Father's will. He continued in his Father's words, and he abode in his Father's love. That's how he was sent by the Father and lived by the Father. And he says the same way, just as the living Father sent me and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. And he states it one more time, this is that bread which came down from heaven. Amen. The Word came down. The Spirit came down. This is that bread which came down from heaven. Not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He reiterates it. You can eat physical bread from heaven. It can go into your physical belly. It can go through your digestion system. It can come out the other side, and you'll end up dead just like that dung. Just like the children of Israel died in the wilderness. Not just physically, but they were spiritually dead. No, he says, he that eateth of this bread shall live forever. Why? Because he's the living bread which came down from heaven. He is the bread of life. This is literal. It's not physical. It's spiritual. It's eternal. You say, how do you know? Well, next session, we'll see. We'll see in verse 63. Jesus will make it very clear that his words are not fleshy, they are spirit. But to conclude this session, verse 59, these things said he in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. Jesus Christ was a teacher. He taught the truth. He'll say later in this book, for this cause came I into the world. And to this end was I sent, that I might bear witness to the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. This is John chapter 6, verses 43 through 59. And amen.